Hi guys, welcome to Crypto Coach 365, day, I think it's day 57. A little bit of a new format, besides changing the name from Crypto Life to Crypto Coach, it's also going to be a video from now on, so you'll get to see me being in different locations, and unfortunately I'm not going to be able to hit pause to kind of catch my thoughts, so this is going to be more of a live and raw. I'm in London, so that's why tea, because you gotta have tea in England. And today's topic, I want to talk a little bit about some of Bitcoin's economics, and not so much economics, but what I think of the privacy implications. So there was a video recently where somebody was talking about how certain people asking to spend Bitcoin, or telling people that they must spend Bitcoin all the time, they compared that to Keynesianism, which the idea between Keynesian economics is that you stimulate the economy by having people spend money. So the idea is that the more people spend money, the more the economy gets stimulated, because more gets produced to, more products get created and produced and sold to chase that money, so to speak. And it's a bit of a fallacy in that, for example, One way to prove that it's a fallacy is, let's say that I have a widget and you give me $100 for that widget, and then I give you $100 back for that widget, and then we go back and forth and back and forth. We can have economic activity of many, even millions of dollars, but in the end, all that happened was one widget went back and forth and a dollar went back and forth, and instead of growing, the economy just probably lost money because there was a lot of friction and a lot of just decay used in the widget itself. Unfortunately, entropy makes everything go down, so unless you actually put energy into things, it's just gonna go away. So really, spending money, as Keynesians try to push, is not really a way to stimulate the economy, I guess, for real or whatever. Catching my thoughts here, you get to see me all live, I guess. The whole purpose of inflationary currency, the idea behind it was that if you were to inflate the currency, your currency is losing value, you don't want to hold it, so you'll end up going out on the market and spending it for something else. So, excuse me, like, why would you want to spend, why would you want to wait until next month when that thing is going to be worth more, or cost more rather, than go out there and spend right now? So that's actually the whole reason why the whole idea of inflationary currencies was pushed in the beginning. Unfortunately, since then, it's been turned into, we need to inflate currency because that way we can borrow money and then just in the currency and then just inflate the debt away. But that's kind of a different topic. So, yeah, Keynesianism, that's a thought. The whole idea is that you spend money, and by if you entice people to spend money, then it'll boost the economy, and people, because people go out to buy stuff and somebody needs to actually make that stuff for them to buy. So it's I guess it's the opposite of supply side economics, is demand side. So you're creating demand by inflating, and that way you're boosting the economy. So the argument that was made was that people who are telling others to go and spend their Bitcoin, they're being Keynesians, because all they're doing is enticing people to go and do what Keynesians say in order to boost the value of the economy. But one place that they're going to miss here is that, well, the thing that this claim misses is that this is an idea, the Keynesian idea is to boost the economy. It doesn't actually apply to the money doing the boosting. They're two separate things. When you're going out and you're spending money, you're creating a demand for this money, so people create and produce more in the economy, so the economy tries to chase after the money. But that doesn't actually say anything about the money itself. So when you're actually going out there to spend the money, you are putting more supply on the market, let's say. So you are kind of putting a sell pressure on the money, and you are in a way, because there's more money being out there in the whole market, the supply of it is a lot more, what that would do is it would suppress the price of that money. But the purpose of money is to trade. That is the value, the utility, the unique selling proposition, or whatever you want to call it, that's why we have money in the first place, is to be able to use it. Money that sits around and just does nothing is not really a useful money. It might as well be a rock. So when we go out and we use money, on one hand, yes, we do increase the supply of it, which does suppress the price. On the other, we do increase the use for it, which increases demand for the money. So there's actually another little part to it. Excuse me. London is pretty great, by the way. I did actually get to go around and see some stuff, but back to the topic. So comparing use of people are pushing Bitcoin to be used to Keynesians, kind of, it's not an exact comparison, it's not quite right, because spending Bitcoin is not intended to increase or boost the economy. Spending Bitcoin is supposed to be to actually improve the utility of Bitcoin as money. It's supposed to be money. It's actually the best money that there is. And then probably the next episode I'll actually discuss and explain exactly why it's the best money and all the things that go into money. So we want it to be money. We want it to be a medium exchange. We want it to be something that people can accept, hold, have its value hold or go up, and then spend later. The whole point of holding is with the idea that you're going to be able to spend it sometime later. If you're just holding for holding's sake, there's lots of things you can hold for holding's sake. The only reason that it's going to, like people say, I want to hold it because this way it'll go up in value. Well, what does it matter if it goes up in value if you don't spend it, right? So, let me catch my thought. The other thing with spending money, though, and this actually has more to do with the core roots of why the hell Bitcoin was created in the first place. So, Bitcoin is supposed to be uncensorable. It's supposed to be money that does not depend on banks, does not depend on governments. The problem is that banks and governments have a lot of power over the current money, and they do not want to give away their power. Usually when somebody gets a lot of power, they don't want to lose it. So I am very certain, and this has already started happening, that banks and governments will start fighting Bitcoin. So there's the only way to actually fight back or to kind of not be affected by that fight is to have Bitcoin be censorship resistant. And a big part of being censorship resistant is privacy, or as they call anonymity. So there's anonymity, and then there's like a PC term for that that I would probably hear me use a lot, is financial privacy. It's kind of the same thing. The reason is that, as I say, if you're anonymous in the room, and if you're the only anonymous person in a room full of people with name tags, you're not really anonymous, because everybody can see who everybody else is, but they don't know who you are, so you're sticking out like a sore thumb. So even though they don't know who you are, like by name, you are very, very visible in the room full of people with name tags. In the same way, if you are just holding Bitcoin and all you do is you hold it and you trade it between a couple of other people here and there while everybody else is using credit cards or other publicly traded or publicly managed money, you are sticking out like a sore thumb. You might be able to trade with somebody who you know in person up close, or maybe even at a distance, but still with somebody you know. But the problem is that in such a situation, if you are the only, and your little group are the only people who are using Bitcoin, even though it's censorship resistant between you two, it's extremely easy for you to be censored. And because, again, Bitcoin is money. What is money used for? It's used for trade. You're not supposed to be wealthy on paper. The idea is that you can use Bitcoin as money to actually collect more things, like buy stuff, like Lambos, for example. But if you are the only person, you and your group are the only people who have Bitcoin, and everybody else does not, and everybody else is not allowed to use Bitcoin, then governments don't have to worry about censoring you being able to send Bitcoin to other of your friends privately. Like, you can stay anonymous and trade these Bitcoins all you want. All they have to do is put barriers to where you actually trade it for real things. So they have to go after merchants, and they have to go after merchant processors, and that's about it. And in that such a scenario, even though you can stay anonymous and you can stay, you can trade it censorship resistant between your other people. Both you and those other traders can't actually use Bitcoin for what they're supposed to be used for, which is to buy stuff, to enjoy life, basically. So in that sense, I don't know if people just don't really think about it that far. Like, maybe some people think, well, I can stay anonymous, and then all I have to do is just anonymously trade it with somebody else for cash, and I can spend that cash someplace else. But it's like, think one step further. If you can't trade it for cash, then maybe they can't trade it for cash, and then nobody can trade it for cash. But if Bitcoin is actually spent constantly, like, as people say, like, you have to go, the people who are telling you to go and trade it, if it does actually go and get traded constantly out in the market, and grows to the point where it's like normal money, then it would be extremely easy to be anonymous, because you will be hiding in a sea of people who are doing the same thing. In this case, instead of you being one person with no name tag in a sea of name tags, you're going to be one person with no name tags in a sea of people without name tags too. And at that point, you might be able to track one individual person you might be interested in, but it'll be very difficult because nobody has name tags and you're kind of hiding in the crowd, so to speak. So because of that, I do agree that we need to spend Bitcoin. That's actually what I've been doing since 2014, which is I moved my savings and my money and everything into Bitcoin, and Bitcoin has been my main money since then. So yeah, I agree, we need to spend it. You earn it, you keep it, you spend it, and encourage everybody else to use it, because the more people use it, the more censorship resistant it is, the more private it is, and the better it is for everybody, and also the better and easier it is for Bitcoin to achieve its goals. So that's my little lesson for today, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.